Kevin, the goaltender carousel has been up and running quite a bit in free agency. Holtby is now in Vancouver. Markstrom is in Calgary. You saw Grice get signed. The Oilers actually stood stand pat. So let's look at, because I know you look at styles of goaltenders and then the style of play in front of them with their new team. Which goalie do you think is the best fit based on the style the team in front of them plays, assuming they'll play the same style next year?
Well, and that's one of the challenges, right? Like, so I was able to, one of the new features at ClearSight Analytics, and you know that I reference them quite a bit just because, A, I have access to numbers there that, you know, nobody else really does, but frankly, context in terms of measuring save percentage and shot quality that no other company that I'm aware of even does. So to be able to have a sneak peek there is beneficial, especially now because they actually have the ability to sort of plug goalie A into Team X, if you will. In other words, take a look at the 32 different types of scoring plays, how this goalie does on each type percentage-wise, and how many he would have faced last season. And so while that's still not an absolute, it's a nice indication of how, you know, when we talk about a style and how a goalie plays, fitting a system, strengths and weaknesses, do they match? But as you just said, I mean, goaltending's not the only thing in a carousel right now. So is defense. So are some coaching staff. So are some, you know, mentalities in terms of how teams want to defend. I mean, the Canucks, for example, have changed their top four. They made a change during the playoffs in terms of how they defended, and will attempt to continue that. So there is no perfect world here. At the end of the day, even with these great numbers, you're sliding the goalies into last year's system and last year's personnel in front of them, and that changes as well. So, you know, grain of salt on it all. But looking at how teams played last year, looking at the strengths and weaknesses, even though I'm not sure the contract, especially in the final year, will be, you know, necessarily beneficial, it's hard not to love Jacob Markstrom to the Calgary Flames. And I say that not just because he gives them what they haven't had since Kiprusoff, at least the way he's played the past two seasons, if he can keep it up, in terms of just an absolute no questions asked, here's our number one guy, no more projects, no more trying to just sort of slide in pieces and change guys every year and fill the gap. This is our guy. He's played at an exceptional level, and we're going to trust him to keep playing at that exceptional level. But also in terms of structure, not just the types of chances the Flames give up, lateral plays, screens, that are tougher and how well he's done against them, but maybe more important when it comes to Markstrom, the amount of easy chances they give up. And that may seem like a really odd thing to consider, but one of the things that set Jacob apart, especially this past sort of season and a half with the Canucks, compared to before, is he completely eliminated the bad goal. And bad goals, we can measure. They're clear-sighted goals from outside the slot. Goals where the goalie can see it, has clear sight on it, and it's not so in tight that he can't react to it. He didn't give up a single one of those last season. And that alone would save the Calgary Flames, compared to what they had, 16 to 17 goals. And that's a pretty big number. But the other part that makes it important in terms of can you continue to get the best out of Jacob Markstrom, and this is a little more anecdotal than statistical, but I do believe the remaining question mark for those that have questions about Markstrom is, can he be a good goalie behind a good defense? He was really good here in Vancouver behind a crap defense. But one of the things that he excelled with is, again, the easy shots and not making mistakes there. And I think he relied on an abundance of them to sort of find his rhythm and timing. In other words, my lone question is, what would he be like behind a team that, you know, say Bill Peters when he was in Calgary or Carolina, where they just don't give up shots, and then you don't get those easy ones, those feelers, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's a great A. I'm not sure Markstrom is a good goalie unless, well, I shouldn't say this. There are at least questions about whether he can be this good if he's not this busy. And the good news is for the Flames, one of the few teams in the National Hockey League that gave up more from the outside clear-sighted shots than the Vancouver Canucks was the Calgary Flames. So he fits them in terms of their tough chances, but they also fit him in terms of being a team that's going to still give him the type of shots that he's been so good at and using to find his rhythm and his timing in games. You add all that up to in terms of their needs, and it's hard not to see a great fit there, even if you can still fairly have questions or at least understand why the Canucks wouldn't match it in terms of the dollar and the term.
Kevin Woodley from Ingo Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. So what about which goaltender going to a new team are you most concerned about fit?
Well, Talbot and the fit wasn't as exact, but at the end of the day, and Cam said this himself, like, any goalie is going to fit in Minnesota because the chances, they don't just don't give up much, right? Like, they're in the top of the league in all the categories, right? So, you know, when you broke down their relative strengths and weaknesses defensively to his relative strengths as a goaltender, there were a couple that didn't match up perfectly. But again, relative is the key term here, because for the Minnesota Wild, the chance that they give up more of, they might be 10th in the league instead of first. Like, they were really that good defensively. You plug some goalies into Minnesota's system using these numbers I had, and the savings were as high as 50 goals. So Talbot's a little below that, so it's hard to say. He's not that he's a bad fit, but there were better fits out there. But then when you look at the term and the number and the money, like, he should be a stabilizing force. I think a lot of goalies would look at that as a good opportunity. Holtby, there is one element here in Vancouver that either he has to change or the Canucks have to change. Again, there are no perfect fits. Actually, Markstrom was pretty close. But when I looked at Holtby here, he checked a lot of the boxes except for slot line plays. Plays across the middle of the ice below the top of the faceoff circle. Valiquette used to refer to them as Royal Road plays. We now call them slot line plays. So plays across the middle of the ice that force a goaltender to go from one side to the other. And for as great a skater and as mobile as Braden Holtby is, he was 10 goals to the negative last season on those types of plays. In other words, 10 goals below even the average expected on those types of plays. And it's a type of play that the Vancouver Canucks give up bottom five in the league. In other words, they give up among the fifth most of those types of chances. Everything else, check the boxes in terms of Holtby and style and system fitting. I think you'll probably see the goalie coach here, as he does with most goalies. There will be some things he'll want to change. And he's got the pedigree to sort of demand those changes, even out of a Vezina and Stanley Cup winner. So it'll be interesting to watch them work. Braden was at his best with Mitch Korn in Washington. I think most of his slippage in the past 3 years have been the fact they defend horribly. He had the lowest expected save percentage in the NHL last year by ClearSight's numbers. In other words, the worst defensive environment among starters. So I think that's part of why his numbers slipped. But I think there are some changes you'll see them try to institute in terms of solving those slot line plays, because if they don't, that's going to be an area where they're not a good match. Everything else, though, Jason, checks out.
Kevin Woodley from Ingo Magazine, NHL.com. Kevin, a lot of Oilers fans want to know, when it came down to the timing of Mike Smith, and you look at all the other goalies that had already signed, Crawford had signed, Greiss had signed, Markstrom had signed, Talbot had signed, all those guys were signed. Of the remaining goalies that were still out there when Mike Smith was signed, are there any that you think were clear better fits for the Edmonton Oilers?
That's a tough one. And because, remind me though, like, you're into the Craig Andersons, Ryan Millers, Jimmy Howards of the world at that point. No, I'm just
Aaron
trying to remember the exact timing.
Aaron Dell?
Yeah, I think without being able to put all of them into their system directly right now, it just takes a little longer than that.
Schneider was still available at the time. Craig Anderson, Ryan Miller. Those were both the only guys.
Yeah, and, I don't think Miller's leaving Anaheim. If he's going to play, it'll be there. I'm not sure you'll see him move. Jimmy Howard might have been a guy you'd take a flyer on. I think in that case, once you're into that list of names, Jason, there's something to be said for the devil you know. There really is. And I know Oilers fans may not want to hear this, but here's another one. I did manage to plug in, for example, Marc-Andre Fleury's numbers into Edmonton's system and try and look at the difference there, because that's who I thought, and this is obviously, I had no idea, not going to pretend to have any knowledge of it or be an insider on this one. I had no idea that Vegas was looking at Robin Lehner having surgery and that were that adamant they were going to keep Fleury. In my mind, he was still an option out there. And I think in my mind, he was probably the best option for a lot of teams, to be honest with you. But the difference, if you put him, for example, into Koskinen's environment, he's nine goals, like him last season is 9 goals worse than Koskinen was last season in Mikko's environment. Very similar to what you would get out of Mike Smith. Now you put him into Mike Smith's environment and there is an improvement. He goes positive one where Smith was -4. So you get about a 5-goal improvement. But we're not talking about a massive improvement. And we're not talking about a huge change there. I'll be honest with you, Jason. I was surprised. I was a little surprised by that. So the flexibility you get, you know what you have in Smith. You know how he fits the system, for better or for worse at times. You know how he moves the puck and how he can change the game that way at times. You also get him on a one-year cheap deal. And this is the thing about a one-year deal versus, say, a Fleury or a Crawford on 2 years. I do wonder how many teams want the option of being able to bail out another team heading into expansion to make a bigger move with their goaltending. In other words, if a team is forced to make a tough decision on two really good goaltenders and you view one of them as an upgrade on even Koskinen, are you in a position now with only a one-year deal with Smith to make that move and potentially even expose Koskinen to the expansion draft because you've gotten someone younger? Chances are you keep them both anyways, but you've also gotten someone younger who can be, you know, a big part of your future moving forward. I think there will be value to flexibility heading into that expansion draft when it comes to goaltending, and teams may be able to get a really good goaltender from someone who just doesn't want to lose them for nothing to Seattle.
Quickly, what can you tell us about Anton Forsberg?
Good in that three role. Not really convinced there's a huge upside at the NHL, but I would be lying if I said I'd looked a ton myself. This is more based on conversations with other guys. I see him, and the comparison is Michael Hutchinson, and that's actually not fair directly because there's a lot of negativity around Michael Hutchinson, some of it unfair, frankly. But I see Forsberg as a pretty good technical goaltender who's going to give you a level of consistency by sort of being in the right spot and taking away the middle of the net. I don't know if there's another level in terms of, you know, quote unquote big saves. I don't know how dynamic he is, but there's a steadiness to his game if you need him. He's not going to, in other words, he shouldn't hurt you, but I don't know that the ceiling is that high, if that makes sense to you.
No, I totally, that makes complete sense, Kev. Thanks so much, man. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yes, still stuff from it, so I guess that is a positive. And the good news is the food coma kept me away from watching my fantasy football team implode yet again. We still got to get Connor to give me some help there, buddy.
I'm not sure Connor's the guy, but we'll talk about that another time. Thanks for this.
Okay, guys, take care.